The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seized him, and all at once he shrieked. It convulsed him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I beg your disciples to cast it out," but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The festival of the Transfiguration. Kind of like Reformation Sunday, Hallmark doesn't know anything about what to do with this one. And that's a good thing. Because Hallmark would have missed the point on this one if they would have tried anyway. The Transfiguration. Every year we celebrate this at the end of the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is the season of Jesus being revealed. That's what Epiphany means, being manifest or revealed or made known. How is Jesus made known during his earthly ministry? And so, in this last Sunday of Epiphany, before we begin the season of Lent, we see Jesus revealed in a most remarkable way, dazzling is the word the gospel writer uses, dazzling white. And that's even kind of an understatement. I know, I always admired John Perrin's sweater when he wears this white one, because it's like, how do you keep it that white? And I think about all those Tide commercials that I've seen in a lifetime. You know, the football players' uniforms get so dazzling. Wait, no, that's not dazzling. The Greek here is talking about like a flash of lightning. Okay, no offense, John. It's a different kind of white. Like a flash of lightning. Now, you've seen that kind of dazzling. It's awe-inspiring. Especially when you're already in darkness. You remember those dark summer nights? And you hear kaboom, flash. Or is it the other way around? Light first, then sound? Where's Mark when I need him? But it's brilliant. And the disciples don't know what to do with themselves. Because here's Jesus in all the brilliance you can imagine, and Moses and Elijah. That had to be a remarkable moment. Moses, Old Testament legend, has never died. There's no death story of Moses. But he was a great prophet, a great leader, a great voice for God. And Elijah. Well, some people thought Jesus was Elijah reincarnated. Because Elijah, too, there's no death story. The biblical witness says Elijah was taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire. And here he is. With these lowly fishermen, ordinary guys. You know, if the disciples would have been in Galesburg, they would have worked for the railroad, or the prison, or OSF. They would have just been ordinary people. But they don't know what to make of this. What do you make of the extraordinary mountaintop experience? By the way, this window is called the Ascension Window and is a depiction of Jesus rising after the resurrection. But a few of you have had a chance to see this about an hour before sunset. If it's really bright outside, and it's best in the spring and the fall, about an hour before sunset, if you come in here and you look in the church and you find the place where it's the brightest, that will be where the sun is coming through the halo behind Jesus' head. And if it's lined up so that the light is coming through the halo, all that stuff that looks like, I don't know, you remember doing those brown matchstick crosses when you were a kid? You know, that brown straw around him lights up like it's on fire. You have to make a point of coming in and seeing it sometime. Like, if it's a bright afternoon, call the church office. Say, hey, I want to come in about an hour before sunset. Because it's remarkable. The brown is not brown, it's dazzling. It took my breath away the first time I saw it. But still, it's something that my eyes can comprehend. The Transfiguration, not so much. Because what it was the revelation of the glory of God. Our lessons all tie together this morning. Our first lesson is about Moses going up the mountain to talk to God. Very few people were ever able to do this. Moses did. But you know how the story goes. When he came down the mountain, people were like, you're too bright. We can't look at you. And so Moses had to veil his face because he had seen the glory of God. And it was too much for the people to handle. And so Moses would go up and talk to God, take off the veil, put the veil back, and go down and talk to the people. And I've always wondered, was that filter? Why? They really never understood. I don't know. But here's the thing with the transfiguration. The disciples went up the mountain, encountered Jesus in all his glory, like a flash of lightning. And they didn't have to veil their faces when they went down. The glory of the Lord had been revealed. And when they came down the mountain, they could share it. They didn't need a veil. The same is true for us. Now, we've never been exposed to Jesus in that kind of way, or maybe some of you have. But we don't need to, as the children's song say, hide it under a bushel. The light of Christ is very real. The power of the Holy Spirit is very real. And sometimes, as church people, we act like it's not. We act like we can do this on our own power. Like if we just have the best plans, or the best stewardship program, or the best education program, we can do this. But what is it we are doing? Because what we are doing needs to be sharing the light of Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. Are we trying to do it by ourselves? On our own set of AA batteries? Or do we let the light of Christ guide us in all that we do? Now, here's the thing about that mountaintop experience. Because I think sometimes Christians get a little sad or get a little disappointed. Like, I've never had a Christian mountaintop experience. And some of you may have had those too. But the thing is, every mountaintop experience, if it happens in this world, it ends. Whether it's a Christian mountaintop experience, whether you've been on a great retreat, or you've just heard a great speaker, or you've heard a great Christian musical group, those mountaintop experiences all end. Every mountaintop experience of Scripture ended. In fact, even for Jesus. Jesus had a couple mountaintop experiences, and they weren't the be-all, end-all. You remember when Jesus was identified as the beloved Son of God at his baptism? He was taken out to the desert by the Spirit. He was tempted. And the tempter, the slanderer, the devil, took Jesus to a pinnacle over Jerusalem. Mountaintop experience. And the devil says, throw yourself off of here. God will catch you. The angels will bear you up lest you dash your foot on a stone. mountaintop experience, but not the revelation of the glory of God. In Nazareth, just after Jesus identified himself as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah's scripture, "I've been anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, raise up the deaf, the blind, the leaping lame." And the people try to run him off a cliff. Another mountaintop experience for Jesus. So far, he's not doing so well on mountaintops. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus identifies himself as the one Judas is looking for, and Judas identifies him with a kiss. Again, a mountaintop experience, but not like we would expect. Mount Tabor. This mountaintop experience with Peter, James, and John, Elijah, Moses, dazzling Jesus. Mountaintop experience. And certainly a good boost for the morale of the disciples. And yet, this is not the most important mountain. The final mountain, Mount Calvary. That's where Jesus comes into all his glory. And it will never make sense from an earthly point of view. But that's where Jesus came in to his real and true and eternal glory, by taking on the powers that be, by humbling himself on a cross. And so at his baptism, the sky opens up, and the Holy Spirit says, "Listen to him." And at the transfiguration again, the sky opens up and a voice from heaven says, "Listen to him." That is how Jesus is revealed. Listen to him. Read his words. Know his character. Study the Gospels. Who is Jesus and what is Jesus about? I'll tell you, it's not the earthly mountaintop experiences. Think about it. Tonight, after somebody wins the Super Bowl, tomorrow, all the teams will be thinking about next year's training. Think about it. Whoever wins the next presidential election, they've already, the rest of them have all started their 2020 thinking about the next campaign. There is no earthly mountaintop experience, no winning, no power, no glory that can shine a light to the light of God. That light is the light that lightens up our hearts, our lives, our church, the church universal, and all history and future. Listen to him. And may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our light and our life. Amen.